radical ways to catch a Jezebel. I've talked about how to catch a Jezebel, how to escape a Jezebel, how to recognize. Let's talk about some radical ways. Radical. Well, one thing you could do is just hire a private investigator, but you don't really need to because it could waste your money. You could say that you did and just see the response. But anyway, one way to catch a Jezebel. I mean, radical ways to catch a Jezebel. A Jezebel is obviously going to be doing things and saying things that the average person doesn't say. Now, we're in the society of narcissistic Jezebels. The society is built that way, but doesn't mean it's normal. You can still find some normal people to talk to. And one way you can catch a Jezebel is, you know, Jezebel's a criminal because she's up to no good, and she's a deceiver and a manipulator. And she's hung out, her past, she's hung out with criminals, right? Is, you compare her words, if her words are something a criminal would say, because you've rubbed shoulders with family members, neighbors, co-workers that you knew were criminals, just by the way they talk, if she says the same comments like a criminal, or thinks like a criminal, or thinks like a win-lose, or everything's a competition, you know something's up. The jig is up. I look back and I remember talking to one 7 years ago. She was trying to get in the foot in the door. I said, why do you see everything as a win-lose? It could be win-win. Because she was a Jezebel. Why is it a win-lose? Why are you in the win-lose mindset? See, people who are in the dispensation of law and they're in the flesh, everything's win-lose. They don't see win-win. They think if somebody gets an advantage over them, that they're losing. No. Let's say you take a job and it's a job. You get paid by the hour. You agreed to the duties, but you see other people making more money, or they have an easier task than you. Why would that make you mad? You agreed to the job. Why would you be jealous of somebody else? You could go get another job. Oh, you just go get another job, go to the classes, go to the training. You could do whatever you want. But they're always in the jealousy mode, or win-lose, or trying to fight to be better than somebody else, you know. And that's one of the tricks. Jezebel's trying to make you think, paint a picture of a reality with her that is better than the reality you have. But then when you step into that reality, when you put your toe in that reality, or your foot, you know, you put your toe in the hall, the bath water before you get in it, right? Too hot or too cold. So when you put your toe or foot into that reality and you see what's over there, you see the chaos and the drama and the insanity and the no peace and the drinking, the drugging, the fighting, the arguing, and the he said, she said. You realize, wait a minute, I'm glad I only put my toe in there, because that's not what I want. My life is a whole lot better than that life, and I don't know why I believe the picture, because it was a painted face. It was a painted face. It was a facade. The facade looks good, looks better, but once you step into it, you realize it's kind of like you watch these Hollywood actors, you know, or actresses, and you look at them like, oh, they got a great life. They got this big million-dollar house, and they look happy. But when the news breaks behind the scenes, just like Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, they were not happy. The facade was fake. Money. They want more money and more money and more money and more money. When's enough? When is it enough? You know, when is it enough? The love of money is the root of all evil. So there you go right there. How you catch a Jezebel? She's always thinking about money. everything they do is about money or image or outward show. And they're always hanging out with people. They're trying to hang out with people with money. If they know somebody's got money, they want to hang out with them. That's the kind of person they want to hang out with. They don't care about them. They're not their friend. They're just fake friends. Radical ways to chastise Jezebel. Let me think about it. So they're going to talk like a criminal. Their previous people that they've hung around are probably criminals. If you listen long enough, they're criminal. They have the criminal mind. And they're still back in the background somewhere, usually. And if you say, well, why? You roundabout question, you say, why were you? Because they usually come after you. You don't chase them, they chase you. Why are you chasing me? You know, you don't say it that way, because that. Say, what makes you interested in my world or me? Well, all the people in the past, they were criminals. They were trouble. They didn't work and they didn't this. Well, if you really think about it, I doubt Jezebel would get with somebody who wasn't working. It's more like Jezebel destroyed the person, or they didn't have a job. They were broke and busted, and because Jezebel just tore them down and they had to escape Jezebel. And Jezebel's going to blame. If she's repeated the same pattern over and over, where the people in the past were broke and busted, she probably broke them and busted them. Think about it. Because she wouldn't have got with them otherwise. They're always going to project their stuff onto somebody else. And look for that pattern. They'll never admit wrong. In other words, okay, so you blame everybody else, but what did you do wrong? One radical way to test a Jezebel, or catch a Jezebel, or see a Jezebel, is they never admit they're part of the problem. A transformed person would look back and say, you know, I used to think this way when I got married. I was legalistic and put my wife under too many laws and rules, and I was into legalism. I was in a legalistic church, but God showed me that legalism's not where it's at. Nobody's perfect. You can't expect somebody to be perfect. You're going to admit where you were wrong. And where you've grown. Everybody grows, but Jezebel will never admit and still blame everybody from the past and never learn any lessons. They will never say, well, you know, I used to be a really bad person. I was a biddy. I was a biddy, and I was really doing things I shouldn't have done. Lying to my husband and playing mind games and all that. And then I got saved and I got radically transformed. And I know that I repented and that wasn't right. And I'm sorry and I'm a changed person. They'll never say that because they never got transformed. The only way you can admit that is be transformed. But they actually get worse. They become more just like a person. A man gets good at his trade, right? He's an electrician or a plumber. He gets good at it. He gets better at it over time. So the Jezebel, she gets good at her trade. She becomes a master at her trade. She gets better at it over time. And it's not a better, it's really worse. She gets better at deceiving. She gets better at being evil. She gets better at her trade. Because she's gone through enough people, she's seen a pattern. But then when she meets off with somebody who's smarter than her, she don't know what to do, so she has to go into drama. Because we all know that Jezebel's going to contradict herself because she can't remember all her lies. And she's told so many lies, she believes her own lies, and so she's created some fake reality that doesn't line up with the truth. And so the most radical way is just start asking some biblical doctrinal truth. And she just can't do it. Why is it Jesus alone saves? Why is it faith alone? When did you get truly born again? What happened when you got born again? Where were you at? Did you fall down on your face and cry out to God? Did you repent of your sin? See, they can't admit sin because they're still under legalism. They're still under law. If they admit sin, they might could get saved. But if you say, when did you admit sin? When did you see your sin? When did you fall down on your face and admit that you deserved hell? And if you catch one at the right moment with that question, they'll say, well, I never was a sinner. I never did fear hell because I was born, I'm a good person. And so then it's like the light bulb comes on. You could be married to one for three or four or five years. And then when she finally says, I was never a sinner. I got saved when I was five. I wasn't a sinner. You never saw your sin? No, I was never a sinner. Oh, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous but sinners. What do you think about that verse? This really happened to me. My wife, she said, I wasn't a sinner. I said, well, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous but sinners. And in sin did my mother conceive me. It means I'm a sinner. I was born in sin. You weren't born in sin? No. Well, you were a missionary. You're a liar. You're lying to yourself. And so if you're lying to yourself and you've got that outward show, you're lying to everybody else. And no wonder you run in the streets and act like a Jezebel. Because you're calling God a liar. 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth's not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and we're calling God a liar, and the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 1. In sin did my mother conceive me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They can actually know the Romans road and say, for all have sinned, and you call them out and say, when did you see your sin? Well, I never sinned. I got saved at five. I actually experienced this, people. I really did. With a missionary. A missionary who never was a sinner. Why was she on the mission field? Because of money. It was all money. She didn't care about souls. She just cared about money. I mean, I'm not even joking. I wish I was lying. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Lord, strike me dead if I'm lying. She is like so deluded, probably still. And it's like, I don't know if they can ever get saved when they get to that point. It's such a convoluted thing. Yes, yeah, so the fact that I've lived through some radical experiences, the new Jezebels that come on the scene, I don't know where they come from or what they think they are. But I've seen the worst of the worst. And so I've seen it all. I've heard it all. And so when I see the red flags, the radical way to catch one, the most radical way is, let's say you are in love. You think you're in love, right? But still take notes. Because remember, let God be true and every man a liar. So you take notes and you call Jezebel out, hey, you just contradicted yourself. And if she says, no, I didn't. Or if she says, no, I didn't, she's probably Jezebel. If she says, you know, I did, and let's talk about it. But the Jezebel doesn't want to talk about it. She wants to be in drama and deny it. The most radical way I found to catch any kind of Jezebel or any kind of pattern with people who's trying to manipulate is just take notes over a period of time. Notate their words and their comments and their way of thinking. You can actually see if they're trying to get in the door, trying to steal, kill, or destroy, trying to manipulate you, trying to get you to do stuff that's not your responsibility, trying to cross boundaries. When you start taking notes, when you see a red flag, you don't have to with the born again because they'll tell you the truth. And they'll call you out on your junk. You know, one way to know it's not a Jezebel, Jezebel's going to call you out on your junk. But she's going to say, look, I've been guilty of it too. But a Jezebel who calls you out to your junk, and she's never been guilty of anything, that's a different story. Let me rephrase that. A saved woman's going to call you out on your junk and your contradictions, and she's probably going to say, the reason I know is because I've been through it and it don't turn out good. But a Jezebel's going to call you out on your junk and never admit she's wrong on anything. I was in the drive-thru, so I'm trying to make sure I say that right, because I had a lot of things going on at once. A saved woman, if she sees you make a mistake, do something, say wrong way of thinking or something, she's going to call you out. And she's not doing it in a prideful way or to hurt you or condemn you. She's doing it in a nice, kind way. She say, you know, I remember I used to do that or think that way or say that or look at it that way, and God convicted me and showed me this. But a Jezebel, she's going to call you out on something to put you under guilt, shame, condemnation. The saved woman's trying to set you free. The Jezebel is going to try to put you under guilt, shame, condemnation to manipulate you and make you submit to her. The unsaved woman. The unsaved woman's trying to get you to submit to her. The saved woman's trying to get you to submit to God. So the radical way to catch a Jezebel is that she's pointing you to God, or is she pointing you to herself to worship her and serve her and kiss her feet? And a saved woman don't want to be worshipped at all. It's a radical transformation when a person gets saved. It's a radical transformation. And if you catch yourself trying to seeing somebody as perfect, 100% perfect, it's probably the Jezebel sphere, because there's no human that's going to be 100% perfect. It's a fine line when you have unconditional love for somebody and it's like, oh, there's a spark, oh, this is the one, versus the Jezebel fake reality spark. It's really kind of bizarro land. But if you talk to anybody long enough, you're going to see their bad side and you're going to say, oh, they're just human like me. And so when you realize somebody's just a human like you are, the Jezebel game gets dropped to the bottom of the sea. When the Jezebel game gets dropped to the bottom of the sea, she knows she's lost. And she has all these last-ditch efforts to try to manipulate, but it never works.